Cato, we are First Choice Radio on your Sunday, and we are in the third hour, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce on the line with me now is the lovely Justine Riddick.
Hello there, darling. How you doing?
I'm okay. Thank you so much for coming on Rach on Sunday. Well, you know, we were first setting this up. It's like, do a recording. It's like, no, I only do live. You only do live on there. Thank you for coming on. Before we talk about this fantastic musical, which, like I said to you before, when Michelle showed me this, was like, oh, are we going? She's like, no, you're going to be able to interview it on your show. So, Michelle, I know you're listening. I'm dropping you a hint there. We need to go to Manchester anyway. But before I go on to that, where did your love for singing start, Justine?
I think it started in school. I always used to sing around. I was an 80s child, so it was a lot of the chart music that was around at the time just caught my eye. But it started when I walked past the library and they were holding auditions for Annie, and I decided to audition for it because I had really tight curly hair. No. So then I realised I could actually sing a bit.
That's another movie I absolutely love, and I'm really excited because they're actually redoing that movie as well, aren't they? So I am looking forward to that. But I know when we were chatting there, we had a little bit of a chat and catch up last night, didn't we? But yeah. Obviously you started, you were in Annie and that. So where did your love for Tina Turner come as well then? When did you first hear her? How old were you?
It was a long process, to be honest with you, because I started working as a cabaret vocalist when I was 19, and I did the circuit around the Liverpool circuit for absolutely years. I did it with an Enterprise allowance loan, if you can remember them back in the 80s.
No, I can, yeah, as well as poll tax.
Exactly, yeah. So I started singing as a cabaret vocalist, and I knew a few Tina songs at that point, and I wouldn't say she was massively in my set at the time, but what one song I always remember is trying to get the people up and dance during the dance spot. And it'd be impossible. You'd try all sorts of different songs, and you'd try the Nolans, and you'd try Candy Staton, and you'd the Drifters, and nothing would get these people up to dance. And then you'd play Simply the Best, and everyone would be on the floor. And then they'd all ask you for more. But the problem is you'd leave Simply the Best to the end, so they'd all be shouting more, and you'd want to go home by then. They've ignored you for 45 minutes.
I know.
So I kept it out the set as much as possible.
Yeah, it is one of those songs. I mean, I can remember my dad, you know, Tina Turner would come on TV and he would simply just stop what he was doing. And I think, in all honesty, you know, I think it was the legs as well. I think he absolutely loved it. But I used to go to the Conservatory Club with them, and, we'd be having a drink and that, and then it'd come on. And he'd get up with me, Mum, and I'd get up with them. I mean, this was in my past life, you know. And it is one of those songs, and I think you're right, you know, the timing of when to play it as well is a really good thing. So I am going to play one of your tracks now that you requested, and when we come back, you've actually been on TV as well, haven't you? I know we were talking about that, but the track that we're going to play is actually Proud Mary. I mean, tell me a bit about this track and why you love it.
Well, whenever someone says to me, what are my favourite songs? I mean, Proud Mary just has to be up there, even though it's one of Tina's covers, originally by Creedence Clearwater Revival. Yeah. It was the way that she took that song and completely made it her own, with a nice and rough, everybody likes different things. You know, we never, ever do anything completely nice. And it was just the way she grabbed it. It was like, oh, now we're talking, and the dance routine that went with it. So I think it's one of those songs, even more so possibly than Simply the Best, that is iconic of Tina Turner, even though it wasn't hers.
It is. And what's amazing, everybody, about the tracks I'm going to play that Justine's picking, it is actually her singing them as well. And I was blown away when I listened to these as well after we spoke last night. So I'm going to play this one now. It is Proud Mary, and it's over to you.
Turning
Welcome back to Rach on Sunday. I'm joined with the fabulous Justine Riddick, who just sung that fan. That song for me is absolutely amazing, Justine.
Oh, thank you very much, honey. it's very hard to dance to, but I love singing it.
like Michelle said, you know, when that comes on, you just, at some point in your life, and we all know Tina Turner, you know those moves, don't you? And it reminds me of New York, New York, you know, in the game.
Yeah,
of Manchester.
Yeah, exactly.
I know we were chatting there, and when that comes on, that place just absolutely erupts. Now, before that fabulous track, we mentioned that you have been on TV, haven't you? So just tell people a bit about that.
Yeah, well, after being cabaret for about 15-odd years, I kept on trying to apply to different competitions that were on at the time. There was one called Posse Cold with Des O'Connor. There was My Kind of Music with Michael Barrymore. There was all sorts going around at the time. Even Opportunity Knocks when I was 15.
I know. But, yeah, I remember that. I auditioned for that doing a robot dance. I never got through.
Oh, well, I know. I never got through.
Never mind.
But I was very lucky. Well, I kept on avoiding the show because I didn't want to pretend to be somebody else. I wanted recognition in my own right, which I suppose every artist does. But I got to the point in my late 20s, and I thought, right, this isn't happening for me. Right, who do I sound like? So I tried Cher, I tried Shania Twain, I tried everyone, and I never got through.
This is going to be amazing, everybody, because I know she's done on this. Go on, carry on.
So eventually, it was a friend of mine. She actually heard the artist that I impersonated on the radio, and she said, I've just heard this girl on the radio. She's a new act. And oh my God, it just sounds like you doing Aretha Franklin. And I went, right, okay. So I went out and had a listen. I went and bought the album. And what was really strange was on the album was a picture of an Egyptian ankh. And I got an Egyptian ankh around my neck. I've had one since I was 16. Oh, and I've also got a tattoo of it on my back, and she had a tattoo on her back as well. And I thought, right, this is the one. So I auditioned as her, got through immediately, was on the heat, got through the heat, and got to the final. And then eventually I was beaten by Elvis. But
I thought he was there.
I said, in the middle of Granada Studios when it was in Manchester, I stood on that stage and I said, tonight, Matthew, I'm going to be Anastasia.
You did, Anastasia. And when we were talking about this last night, I mean, I absolutely love it. And that iconic song that she does. And that's just incredible because people weren't expecting you to say that there. They thought you were going to say Tina Turner.
Tell us
more.
Well, I was actually in the final with a Tina Turner, so I was stood next to a girl called Rebecca, and she actually impersonated Tina, and I'd never dreamed that about 10 years later I'd end up being that character.
You'd be doing it yourself.
But Anastasia, well, Anastasia for me was just, it was a natural voice that sounded so similar to mine that there wasn't any effort in it. She did slightly different things with the vowels. I think, I sang I'm Out of Love, which was obviously her first hit, which was great. And she does the likes of, you'll survive. So the word survives suddenly turns into survive. Yeah. Whereas if Tina had just sang survive, she'd have gone survive.
Yeah.
So she does slightly different thing with vowels. But whenever I have an Anastasia song, I just immediately just know the voice and how she does her vowels. But nobody asked me for the character. After about six years of being Anastasia with this beautiful blonde wig, Russian hair that cost me thousands of pounds. It sort of just dried up, and I tried some other characters alongside Anastasia, including Tina. Yeah. And everyone said to me, you just sound like Tina when you're singing as Anastasia. Why don't you do it? And I said, yeah, but I mean, Tina, I don't really look like her.
Yeah.
And they said, no, you'd be surprised. Once you put the mannerisms on, once you put the facial expressions, and you get the right costume for your body, because I'm taller than her.
Yeah.
I've got a broader back. I've got a bigger bust. And I've got longer legs.
Yeah.
Luckily, the legs were the ones that people said to me, oh my God, you've definitely got the Tina legs. So I'm constantly on the CrossFit trainer trying to keep them
well,
okay.
Well, you've got me that attention up in heaven there.
but the rest of me, I wouldn't say I definitely wasn't Tina when she was in her younger years, when she was with Ike. I didn't look anything like her then. So I started looking at the 80s and the spiky wig, and I put a few of them on. And to be honest with you, I just looked comical.
Yeah.
I thought that I look really, really stupid like this. I'm still not thin enough for that character.
Yeah.
So then I looked at how she was in her 70s. So her 60s to 70s, the massive tours that she did. And she put on a little bit of weight then. And she had this curly hair. Now, I've got very tight curly hair, thanks to my father. I've got quite curly hair, and I normally used to have it black or red, so it was never the right colour for Tina, but I went and handmade my own wigs, and I put on this wig, and then I put on my little fringe dress as short as I could get it, and then I put on my big heels, and I thought, oh my God, yes. I looked and I thought, no, this really looks like an owl, but as I was impersonating her on stage, there was something missing. I'd really looked at the body movements, and I'd really looked at her shoulders and her legs and how she moves, but I was missing one thing. So after watching What's Love Got to Do with It, the film, and the wonderful Angela Bassett, oh, it's just stunning. I don't think anybody knew what Tina had really been through until then. And I think that's why her story is so prevalent and so heartwarming between lots of different generations, because they know of that story. And now the younger generation with the musical will know about that story as well. So for me, I just thought, what is she doing? There's something that Angela's doing as somebody impersonating Tina. I thought, what is she doing that makes her look so like Tina? Because she doesn't really look quite like Tina as well. She's got the body shape, but there's definitely differences. And I thought, but there's something that actress is doing. And it was the way that she smiled. It was a very teethy smile, quite a horsey smile. Yeah. And the top lip sort of curled a little bit like Shirley Bassey, a little bit like that.
Yeah.
And so I started really mimicking that. And as soon as I got back out on stage and I put that facial expression into the body movements, the costume and the voice, it was my ex-husband at the time said to me, oh my God, you've cracked it. And he went bloody, he said, I looked at you on stage then and I didn't see you anymore in any way, shape or form. No. I just saw Tina. So you've definitely got it right now. So that's, it's funny because people say to me, what's the most important thing? Yes, it's heels. Yes, it's short dresses. Yes, it's big hair and red lipstick and dancing like her and singing like her. But the one thing that really, really did brought it all together was that facial expression.
It is. And we touched on that last night, and I'm going to come back to that because we were talking about Joe Longthorne as well, weren't we? But the next track I'm going to play for you now is the one that you requested, and it's Help, isn't it? So why this track in Totally Tina?
Well, this one, years ago, we actually heard her singing it, and I did a bit of research, and she'd actually taken the arrangement from John Farnham, and it just blew my mind for two reasons. One of them is, obviously, me and the whole of my band are from Liverpool, and you can't get a more fitting song to finish off our show. It's sort of, it brings the whole show from like, okay, we've been impersonating the Tina concert and we've been recreating it and make you feel like this. But hey, us guys aren't from America and we're not Tina's band. We're actually from Liverpool. So we want to finish off with this. Okay. And it's the closest I get to singing a song normally, because how I sing Help in the Tina show is how I'd sing it normally anyway.
It's fantastic.
It blows my mind. I love it.
It is. So I know Michelle will be happy now listening to this, because, you know, one of the many things we have in common is we both love the Beatles. And I think, you know, when she found out that I liked the Beatles, she was all sold on me. So I'm going to play this now. It is Help. It is fantastic from Totally Tina. Justine, we're back in a bit.
Thank you. want you.
First Choice Radio.
Right. That was absolutely fantastic. Justine, that track was just something else, you know, and you touched on it before, you know, being from Liverpool and being a Beatles fan, and to sing that track was absolutely something else.
I'm just so glad that she actually decided to put that in her set. And I don't put it in the set every single night because it's so hard to sing. I tend to do it more on a solo. So if I'm completely by myself, maybe I'm in another country, or maybe I'm in the UK, but it's only me and two dancers, and it makes a real impact on a solo show.
Incredible. So I am going to come to the dancers and the costumes that we were talking about last night, and the effort as well that goes into them, handmade. How long you have been touring for doing this show?
It's 10 years now, and I can't believe that. I remember us starting it thinking, oh, this is never going to work. And nobody was doing Tina in a theatre to this degree. And now there's lots of acts that do tributes in theatres.
Yeah, it's incredible. And we also touched on cruise ships. And it's something I'd always like to go on. I briefly worked for TUI. And I used to book cruise liners as well as first class around the world and stuff. And it's something I'd always like to go to. But you were actually on the cruise ship as well doing the show, weren't you?
Yeah, I work for Holland America, Celebrity, Princess Cruises, and mainly P&O. P&O is one of my biggest ones. Obviously, I don't work any of them at the moment.
Yeah,
But I know I normally do about 15 to 18 cruises a year, and in one way, it's a good way of escaping from the band and all the pressure.
Yeah,
I know.
I think I've got
close to it sometimes.
I used to go to the Isle of Man on that ferry. That was bad enough for me, but that must have been absolutely amazing. But you met somebody interesting on the cruise ship. As well, obviously you've met many people, but we were talking about Strictly last night, weren't we?
Yeah, well, over the years, I mean, I've met quite a few little celebrities in my time, and managed to get photographs with them, but the Strictly crew is always on the P&O cruises, and they have a different celebrity there. So I've met Shirley Ballas, and I've also met Craig Revel-Horwood, and who else have we met? Oh, I don't know if you know the comic. He's from Liverpool as well. You must know him. His name was Mick Miller, and he was famous in the 80s. Me and Mick are really, really good friends. And it's amazing that somebody of his calibre, and somebody that I see as an absolute star, who's done like four or five Royal Variety Command performances, sits at a table with me. And we have a beer, and we sit in the sun, and we sail across to the Amazon.
It's crazy, isn't it?
So it is. It's amazing the people I've met, and because they're an act and I'm an act, obviously we're traveling together on our ships. We're going to our flights, and we're stuck in airports together, and you really get very close to people. I know loads of people from X Factor as well, and also from Britain's Got Talent, John Clegg, and the guy who's just won Britain's Got Talent last year during 2020, Mr. John Courtney. Yeah. He's a good friend of mine as well. We've all had breakfast together, and we've all jumped off in the Caribbean to go and have a couple of rums in the rum shack in Jamaica.
It's a hard life, isn't it? You know, the thing I was going to say to Justine was, you know, this lockdown has been bad in so many ways, but, you know, positive things have come out of it. I mean, I also DJ, and the thing is, entertainment, once this all settles, they're not going to be able to book enough people, because people are going to go out more than they did and book holidays more than they did. So when it comes, when the storm comes, it is going to be incredible, because you are going to be busy, and you are going to be on your cruises again. And we touched on Strictly there. I remember I was at an exhibition in Manchester, and there was some of the costumes in display cabinets, which, you know, were also on the cruise ships as well, weren't they?
Yeah, well, they can actually, what they do is, when the Strictly team come on, they've got like about 20 mannequins all around the ships, and every night they change the costumes, and they've got a little ticket of who wore them on what series, and you can buy them if you want to then. And I've spoken with the guys who make the actual costumes, hand bead every single little crystal and all the rest of it, and she came to see some of the costumes that we use in our show. and she was very, very impressed. I mean, her costumes are about £400 or £500 each, whereas ours are in between like £90 and £120 each. So, I mean, they're still expensive when you're buying them for six dancers and me. Yeah. We have 26 costume changes in a theatre show.
And this was my next question, because we spoke about how many dancers Tina Turner had in the beginning and what you were doing. So tell me a bit about them. So 26 costume changes, that's something else, isn't it? Because you can't take your time doing these changes, as you know.
No, you've got to do it quick. Can't. Well, that's it. And you can't wear the same thing for Proud Mary that you wear for Hero, or that you wear for a Soul Medley, or that you wear for Steamy Windows. And in one respect, you want to look at what Tina wore. And then in another respect, you think, well, hang on a minute, what's to stop us just finding a beautiful dress that is Tina-esque and using that instead? So I've chosen my costumes that they work with my body shape. So mine are mainly leotards now. I hardly ever wear any dresses. Mine are very quite high cut, but the girls, I've managed to get them fully rhinestone cat suits to a beautiful drop bead, proper bead fringe dresses. We've got Isis wings and enormous Egyptian wings that happen. We've got LED wings. We've just had these new ones made for Asa Queen. We used to use LED wings with lots of colours in them. We'd switch all the lights down for the intro for Acid Queen. But recently I saw the most stunning Brazilian costume with three different types of colours. It had red, orange to yellow, and it looked like a whole phoenix, like a fire. And so I sent that picture to my costume designer and I said, do you think you could have this made? And it's going to make its debut next year, these amazing wings. They're a bit like a drag queen coat, you know, with the big fluff. It's got lots of voile on it, so it's a bit like that, but in the shape of a wing with all these different colours. And then we went down to Sequin Showstoppers, our favourite shop, where he makes us a lot of custom stuff. And he, one day during Pride, he said to me, I've got these amazing Pride dresses, and they were fully sequined, and they started off with all the different colours in them, and they were just beautiful. And I thought, they are going to work amazing for Disco Inferno. Okay, and as it happens, we were doing Manchester Pride, and we also did Barcelona Pride on the beach. We stood on a stage on the beach at 2 o'clock in the morning, and when we came out in these Pride dresses with our Pride flags, we were like, oh, you should have seen them go absolutely crazy. Our Disco Inferno dresses are definitely one of our favorite ones.
You just cannot beat a Pride, and that's another thing that's being missed, because Pride is about celebration in all shapes and form, and hopefully, you know, this year, certainly next, that will be coming back on board, because the colours and the costumes you see at Pride are just something else. I am going to play another track now, and it is one of my favourites, and it is What's Love, and it is the Kygo remix. Tell me a bit about that.
Well, I only came across this one obviously a couple of months ago, because she'd remixed this song, and I love What's Love anyway, and the audience sing along like mad to it. But when I heard this cracking remix, I thought, oh, should we put that in the show? Now, for Tina fans in our show, I don't think it really works within the show. They want to hear the original, but we have CDs that we sell at our shows and online from our website. Mm-hmm. And I thought, right, I'm going to create a second CD to the original, the one that we had, and it's going to have remixes on it. So we've done a remix of Hero, Simply the Best, and I managed to find this amazing backing track. And I decided the other night, it was my dance captain that said to me, you've got to put your voice on that, please, and we'll do a promo video to it. And I said, okay. So I threw my voice down on it just to see what it sounded like.
Well, listen, everybody, this is amazing. I was blown away by it. I listened to this again this morning, Justine. So this is What's Love. It's Justine Riddick, Totally Tina.
You must understand that the touch of your hand makes my pulse react. That it's only the thrill, boy meeting girl, opposites attract. It's physical, only logical. You must try to ignore that it means more than that. Got to do with it. What the? But a second-hand emotion. What the? Got to do with it. Who needs a heart when a heart can't be broken? What the? Oh, I got to do with it. Oh, what's love? me if I tend to look dazed. I've read it someplace. I got cause to be. There's a name for it. Oh, there's a phrase that fits. But whatever the reason, you do it to me. Oh, what's love got to do? Got to do with it. Oh, what's love but a second-hand emotion? What's love?
You're back with me, Rach, on Sunday, the lovely Justine Riddick. Justine, I absolutely love that version that you've done.
It's such a good version, isn't it? I don't know if it'd work in our theatre show, but it definitely works as a standalone track. And who would have thought that Tina had been re-releasing something?
I know, it's incredible. And we talked before, we touched on mannerisms and how important they were. And we were talking last night, weren't we, with regards to Joe Longthorne and what you got from him, you know, and how he performed. Because like you said, he would stand there in a suit, but then he'd become Shirley Bassey and that's all you're seeing, which was incredible.
Yes. Yeah, and you can't get that impersonation as good as you, well, as good as he did, unless you look at the facial mannerisms. If you don't pull your face into the position that Shirley did when she was singing said note, then you're not going to sound the same as well. Because obviously, when you try to recreate somebody or you recreate a show and you give the feeling as opposed to being an impersonator, you're trying to get as close as possible to the original. But your vocal cords are not their vocal cords, so you're never going to be exactly the same. So use everything within your power to make the audience have a fabulous show, whether that be amazing costumes, banging dance routines, great video footage, a wonderful amazing band that play fantastic unusual quirky versions. You can use fire, but as the actual impersonator yourself, if you strip all of that back, and for instance like me on a ship, or me when it comes to some of the TUI brands, I do Sansatori and the Golds as well, there's nothing there, it's just literally me on stage. So it's even more important that I try and pick up every little inflection in her voice and every facial mannerism to try and make it feel as authentic as possible. I'm never going to be Tina. I don't want to be Tina. I'm just giving people a version of her so that they can feel good and remember how amazing that she was. The only person who can be Tina is Tina. Yeah. There will never be another Tina Turner, not in a million years. Just the way there is only one person that can be me, and that's me.
That's right. You know, when people get impersonated, I mentioned to you last night when there was an impersonator in the show that I was in, the Isle of Man, back in the 80s, and he actually took myself off. And to see somebody do your voice and mannerisms was the most freaky moment he ever seen. But I want to play this next track now. And I mentioned this to Michelle last night, that she's going to love the take on this track. And it is Legs, which was originally done by ZZ Top, wasn't it?
Yes. Well, you see, over the years, she's done so many covers. Think about it. Disco Inferno, Addicted to Love, Let's Stay Together, even Proud Mary, and even, would you believe it, Simply the Best as a cover, because Bonnie Tyler brought it out in 1988, a year before Tina did. There's so many covers in her show that we started looking backwards and looking at different things that she'd done. And there's loads still that we haven't covered, but my MD came across this track, and he said, have you heard Tina's version of this? It's a faster BPM, so it's it really drives along. And we've got some amazing footage, about 200 or 2,000 odd clips of Tina's legs in the background while my guitarist is going to sing this. It's not going to be me on the theatre show because he's got like a rock Freddie Mercury voice. Yeah. But I had to put my voice down to it as well, just to see what it sounded like.
Well, I know
she's got legs and she knows how to use them.
That's right. Well, Michelle, you're going to love this, Justine.
Oh, I must say as well, obviously the Americans have different terminology, right, to the UK, right? So here's something for your listeners to listen out for. See if they can work out what word in American would be completely and utterly innocent, but it's said by ZZ Top and Tina Turner, so I had to use the right lyrics. It's said, and in the UK means something completely different. So obviously we have elevator and lift and sidewalk and trunk, and so have a listen in this song and see if anybody I say it twice in this song, and so did ZZ Top, and I won't tell you what verse it's in, but have a little listen and you'll be quite amused by it.
Right, okay, let's do this. It's Legs and it is Justine Riddick, Totally Tina.
It's Rach on Sunday. It's time to turn up the feel good. This is First Choice Radio.
That's right, it's First Choice Radio on your Sunday, and I'm joined the lovely Justine. I'm laughing because Michelle Justine has just come in the studio and whispered the answer in my ear. So I'm sure people may have picked it up or may not. So we were talking about the similarities, everyone, me and Justine, between obviously the USA and the UK and different words and phrases that we use. So would you like to tell them what it was and what the similarity is between ourselves and the UK?
Right, well, it's okay saying this word as well, as long as you relate it to what the Americans call it is. Of course, exactly. Well, in the UK, we have a little tiny bag that we hang around our waist, and we put our important things in it, like our phone and our purses and stuff. Yeah. And we call it a bum bag, or a bum belt.
Yeah.
Yes? Well, the Americans call it something completely different, and it's called a fanny pack. They call your bum your fanny. So, in the ZZ Top line, she says she's got hair down to her, insert words.
Yeah, and you know, I'm laughing. And the thing is, Michelle's been to the USA many, many times. So, she came in, she said, oh, it's a great, and then she whispered with this like cheeky little grin on her face. I'd absolutely love that version, and I'm sure Michelle did too. There is a track that I'm going to play now. If you tell us about it is called Hold On the Grapevine.
Yeah, well, we started making medleys in our show. We started off years ago with the Soul Medley, which includes a little bit of Wipeout to start off with for the 60s, and then I Feel Good, Shaky Tail Feather, Land of a Thousand Dances, Sweet Soul Music, and finishes off with Do You Love Me? So we created that medley, and we decided we wanted that in our show. And then earlier last year, I thought, right, okay, I need to do a rock medley now, because she's done so many rock tracks, and we found Jumping Jack Flash, It's Only Rock and Roll, a wonderful version of the Beatles' Get Back. So we decided to put all those in, plus The Bitches Back with Elton John and Honky Tonk Woman. So that's our rock medley. And it's custom to Totally Tina. Tina's never done one that long with that many songs in it.
Yeah.
So I also found another couple of songs, and I thought, I can't resist putting these in the show. I was listening to the radio, and Sam and Dave, Hold On, I'm Coming, came on, and I thought, what a track.
Yeah.
Oh, if only Tina had sang it. So I Googled it, and she had. On her 60th birthday, she decided to hold a two-hour concert.
Wow.
And within that concert, she sang Hold On, I'm Coming, and that's the only time she's ever sang it.
Wow.
And she's got it on a live album. And now Grapevine, we decided to mix it with Grapevine. And Grapevine is obviously Marvin Gaye, heard it through the grapevine. And it was the 24/7 tour. She comes down from the back of the stage with all flames behind her,
wow,
dressed head to toe fully in PVC with her sexy dancers. And she sings Heard It Through the Grapevine. So we decided to merge those two together. Since then, we've actually added another song in the centre because we found a great version of her singing The Midnight Hour.
Oh,
so we've got another little mini medley. So you've got the shorter version, Hold On Grapevine, today. But when you come and see us this year, you'll actually see Midnight Hour in the centre.
I'm really,
as well.
Really looking forward to it. Now, I know that the date, it's actually going to be at the Drive-In Side Theatre, Manchester Trafford Centre, and it's now June the 6th, isn't it? That's when you're going to be appearing there.
It's going to be something so amazing and so different, because we've done a couple of festivals where we've got people in sheep pens in front of us in groups of six, and then we've had theatres where everyone's had their masks on and then four spaces in between each person. And we've done lots of strange things during lockdown. On YouTube, you can go onto our Totally Tina channel and you can have a watch. They're just there, free for anyone to watch. There was 10 lockdowns in my living room last year. So if anybody wants the link to them, you're very welcome to
That'll
all of them.
Be amazing.
So, I mean, for us to be able to get out and do something so strange, you can fit 175 cars in, and you can fit five people in each car. Then what you do is you get out of your car to the right-hand side through the driver's door, and you sit on chairs onto the right-hand side of your car and watch the show.
It
so you're
sounds,
not in your car watching
it. It sounds absolutely amazing, and I think people have missed going to a gig, so I'm really, really excited for that. That is going to be something else. Well, Justine, I want to thank you so much for coming on Rach on Sunday.
Oh,
and being
thank you so much for having you. I can't wait to get back.
Part of this show. It's just going to be absolutely amazing. That is Justine Riddick. She's just been absolutely fantastic today, and well, this track is called Hold On Grapevine.
Love you,
Christine,
loads.
Thanks a lot. And she's going
love
to give us
loads.
Some
bye-bye.
CDs to give away next week on the show.
Yes.
I will see you next Sunday. You have been listening to me, Rach, on Sunday. How fabulous was she? You are listening to First Choice Radio. Come on, Tina, let's do this.
Please tell me.